Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with the show. Very proud of the team here working together. We put together something called Broomhead's Action Alliance. It sounds like a political group, but it isn't. The Action Alliance is a way for all of us to get involved in helping the community. One of the things I missed during the pandemic was being able to get out and do community service work. And it's starting to open back up, and I am really anxious to get out and do some things. If you would like to jump on board with the Action Alliance, with the Broomhead's Action Alliance, just text the word ACTION to 411-923. We are going to be doing some events of our own with that you can jump in with us, but I want to see what you're doing. We're going to send you a free T-shirt. It's got Broomhead's Action Alliance on the front, KTR logo on the back. It's a cool-looking T-shirt, and I'd love to see you out in the community. Send us pictures. I want to give you your I want to talk about the great things that people are doing in the community. I want to see the pictures of what you're doing. Post them on social media. And then when we do events, I want to jump on some of yours that I really want to be interested in, and you can jump in with me on some of the ones we're going to do here just to make the community a better place. And that's why we're doing this. The team around here is behind it 100%, and I hope you'll jump on board. Just text the word ACTION to 411-923. We're going to send you a free T-shirt, and we want you to jump on board with us, so I hope you'll do it. Let's talk about the NCAA. They were in court, in the Supreme Court, about paying players. Now, this specifically, and this is what the NCAA has said, is that they've actually downplayed what Justice Kavanaugh had to say, saying that this is about what they've always wanted to do and helping students and internships and equipment for school. But one of the things that was written about this said, the notable thing is that the eight other justices did not agree with that and wouldn't sign on to it. But what was said by Justice Kavanaugh was that you can't, you're not above the law. That if you are, you can't make people work for free. Neil Gorsuch wrote the initial opinion. He said that the NCAA compensation rules raise serious questions under antitrust laws, gave 3 points of the matter. He went against the NCAA's argument that the lack of compensation levels the playing field. He wrote that the NCAA's argument was circular and unpersuasive, and the organization was engaging in price-fixing labor, and called the matter a textbook antitrust problem. So without getting into the nuts and bolts of the case itself, the conversation about how do you compensate players or should we compensate players has always been out there about college sports. There is a difference in sports now than when I was a kid. You know, in the 80s, when I would have been going to college, in the 80s, a college degree meant a lot more. Just any college degree meant a lot more. If you got a scholarship to Notre Dame, you could write your ticket in the business world. It was a ticket to a high paying job, and sports back then made money, but not like it does now. This is a multi-billion dollar industry. And let's face it, a college degree, a basic business degree or a basic degree doesn't mean as much as it did 30 years ago, 35 years ago. So the idea that kids are getting a college education, that was the reasoning back then that had some validity to it. If you got a college education for free, you could write your ticket to a great job and a great career moving forward as long as you did your job. That isn't necessarily the case now. That's one of the arguments about the colleges now, is that it costs so much money and kids are getting out of college saddled with so much debt, and they're really not getting much higher paying jobs than a lot of people that are going to trade school or doing on the job training for skills. So what do we do? Do you allow the student athletes to sell their likeness, do endorsement deals, make money off the jersey sales, which I don't understand any of that either. Coaches make tons of money in basketball. Coaches make tons of money in shoe deals. So not only do they make a great salary, which I don't begrudge anybody, make as much money as you can, the coaching staffs are allowed to do this. Not only that, the NCAA rules for college athletes are oppressive. So if you go get seconds at a meal somewhere, how about when there's a bad situation at home? If, God forbid, there's a tragedy in the family, it's an NCAA violation if you buy a student athlete a plane ticket to go home for a family situation. So then a student athlete has got to choose between the rest of their college career in sports and being at home possibly for a death in the family. So the NCAA has brought a lot of this on themselves with their archaic and silly rules, all in the interest of fairness. And everybody breaks the rules. Anybody that's ever been around a major college program in any sport, but especially in football, understands the booster meetings and the old $100 handshake. If you don't know what that is, you don't watch sports that much. But that happens all the time. So they're getting around the rules anyway, which some of the rules are absolutely foolish. I'm sorry, some of the rules are just crazy. And so now this court case is opening up the door in the minds of many people so that they're going to have to look at how do student athletes get compensated. And they're right about a lot of things. It's going to be harder to get kids to go to some schools that won't pay or don't have the ability to compensate players. But if you're a player, if you're a superstar college athlete and the school is making tons of money off of your likeness, they're selling your jerseys like crazy, why aren't the players getting a little piece of that? Now, if you're a starting player and you are one of the most popular people in the country, then you are going to make a lot more money than someone that is the second or third string center on the team. But the schools shouldn't be taking the lion's share of all of this and not sharing it in some regard with the students. When you have other programs in colleges, we understand that football and basketball at some schools drive the revenue that pays for other sports, which I think is terrific. But some of those other athletes that are superstar standouts would get an opportunity because most of these kids are never going to play another down of football or another inning of baseball or any of these other sports, another game of volleyball after they graduate from college. The vast majority of them, even when they're good, don't make it. Tim Tebow was probably the greatest college quarterback of my lifetime and couldn't make it in the NFL. Now, he did get one NFL contract, and he's gone on to do other things. Now I know he's back. He's back in the NFL. And what is he, a third-string tight end for the Jags? But you have most college athletes, even starting players on national championship teams, never go on to play professional sports, while the universities themselves are making billions of dollars. And that's what they're saying is unfair. Now, I don't know the answers to the problem necessarily, but they're going to have to come up with something based on this ruling and some others. And I think it should be an interesting conversation moving forward. In a moment, we're going to talk the Suns. Are the Suns favored to win the championship with Chris Paul out? And a Chris Paul update. All that's coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. Appreciate you spending time with the Mike Broomhead Show. Chris Paul out again now for Game 2. We know that. That game happens tonight. And the Phoenix Suns need to pull off a big win. They need to maintain home court advantage and hope that Chris Paul is back for Game 3 on Thursday. So that is the big hope for Chris Paul. Did you hear or get confirmed that he's going to play for the Olympic team? Do you know that for sure?
Chris Paul, it was reported today, I think The Athletic reported that he's going to commit to Team USA for the Tokyo Olympics.
Him and Devin Booker are going to play for the U.S. Olympic team.
It looks that way.
That's awesome.
It's a 12-man team, so they make up approximately 1/6 of the team.
Yep. And will probably account for 45% of the points.
Maybe. I don't know who else is involved. I mean, I don't know who the other players are yet.
Yeah, but that's, again, for a guy like Booker who is so young, it's not that big of a deal. But for an older player like Chris Paul, I wonder if he's got enough gas in the tank for that.
Well, he's not playing right now. He's getting about a week's worth of rest.
Yeah. I know. That's so terrible.
Well, but think about it, too. It's interesting because if they do go to the finals, knock on wood, that's a lot of basketball.
Yeah.
And then it's a pretty quick turnaround for going to the Olympics.
Yeah. But I think it would be an honor to play for Team USA. It's one of the things, again, Jerry Colangelo, back to the Phoenix Suns, brought the Phoenix Suns to Phoenix and started this franchise and did such a great job. Then with the Diamondbacks, he started the Diamondbacks. They won a World Series in 2001. Jerry Colangelo is so internationally respected and has done such great things. He's the one that revamped and revitalized Team USA basketball. He's associated over at GCU, I think, with the School of Sports Management, I think. But Jerry Colangelo is someone, again, I don't think gets enough recognition for what he's accomplished in this town, what he's done about with Arizona. I think he's someone that has been one of the visionaries that helped build this city, but also what he's done for the game of basketball. Devin Booker is another one that was overlooked for a long time. Devin Booker was not even named to the All-NBA team, first, second, or third team. Wasn't even recognized for his game at the first, second, or third team in the NBA. But after what he's been doing in the playoffs, Stephen A. Smith from his show First Take and the crew from First Take had this to say about Devin Booker.
Devin Booker
said it.
Is the next Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
It is official. His first playoff appearance. And the brother's a number one option. Averaging over 28, dropped 40 in a triple-double in the first game of the conference finals. And just the way he plays, he's an assassin.
Devin Booker is a mini Mamba. He's the closest thing offensively to Kobe's game in the sense that he can kill you from anywhere.
Yeah.
Kobe was his mentor as well.
Yeah, he's a mini Mamba.
So Devin Booker is finally getting the recognition he deserves. Now, what's great about Devin Booker, what I love about Devin Booker is he's such a humble guy. I don't think he was looking for recognition. I think he just wants to win. And he has turned into such a fantastic player. He makes everybody around him better. He is passing the ball, rebounds. He works hard on both ends of the court. And he's just a great guy to watch play. The Phoenix Suns have put together such a great team. Starting with their coaching staff, but they have put together such a great team, they have become the darlings of the playoffs. You've got the big teams out. The Lakers are out. The both number one seeds are out right now. But you are seeing Utah out in the West. You're seeing Brooklyn out in the East. So you're down to four teams that were not the number one seeds, and they're not from huge major markets, with the exception of the Clippers. But listen to what other this is. What people from LA, Robert Horry and Shaquille O'Neal, who played for the Lakers, who they all play in the same arena. This is what they said. This is what LA people are saying about the Clippers.
Now that the Lakers are out, Clippers are still in. So is it like home team? Do you want the Clippers to win a championship?
No,
there's that rivalry.
Hellno.com.
You cannot have the Clippers try to put up a damn banner in Staples Center. They don't belong in Staples. They need to get up out of there with a hurry, with a quickness. So no.
So Shaquille O'Neal and Robert Horry are both cheering for the Suns. Now that Philadelphia is out, because Charles Barkley played, he's played a whole bunch of his career, most of his career, I believe, in Philadelphia, and then came to Phoenix and was a superstar, leading the Phoenix Suns to the finals as well. So now he talks about his Phoenix Suns. They have become the darlings of the playoffs. And I am so happy for Suns fans. And I love talking about this team because I love seeing this town so Suns crazy. It's unlike when the Cardinals are good. There's something different about the NFL. It's a juggernaut. And there's a lot of Cardinal fans. And I love that. But this is a Suns town. They were the original franchise. They were the only professional sports franchise in this city for a long time. So when you go back generations of Suns, you've got grandparents now that are taking their grandkids and have kind of passed this down. I think it's amazing. I'm so happy for the Phoenix Suns and what they've become. But most importantly, that loyal fan base that's been so dismayed with how bad they've been to be this good again. I'm hopeful they go all the way this year. I'd love to see this for this town. It's great stuff. In a moment, we're going to talk about Senator Sinema and shift gears to the opposite end of the spectrum. A lot of criticism from within her own party. What they're saying and why, next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with the Mike Broomhead Show. Senator Kyrsten Sinema is taking a lot of heat from her party. She wrote an op-ed piece about not ending the filibuster. And the filibuster is one of those rules that, unless you're kind of wonky politically, it's a little bit misunderstood. But what it has always done is given the minority party in the United States Senate, whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats who are in the minority at the time, the ability to stop a piece of legislation and ask for negotiation. And so there are times when it's used to kill something. So if there is something that the Republicans really don't want to happen, they can effectively kill it with the filibuster. Which is why the Democrats want to end it, because they don't want to have things killed that they like. The downside of this is it gives them the ability to get up and speak, and there is a negotiation period in order for you to get that senator back on board. And so that filibuster rule helps to balance things out in the United States Senate. It is one of the things that's frustrating about the Congress many times, because things don't get done unless you have like a 60-vote majority or the filibuster is being used. But that was what the United States Senate, that's how this was designed. Now, this has not always been the rule. There has not always been the filibuster rule. But it's one that is very valuable for the minority party. So I would say, with all due respect to the Democrats that are out there, these rule changes are not good. And it wasn't good. And I want you to think, I used this example before when we saw Harry Reid from Nevada, who was running the Senate, when he changed and invoked the nuclear option so that he could get things passed, that the Democrats wanted their agenda passed with a simple majority instead of needing Republicans to get on board to get to 60 votes. He made a rule change he said himself years before would destroy the Senate. And it came back to bite the Democrats a lot faster than they thought it would when it came to the Supreme Court justices, especially with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Because when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, Donald Trump was able to appoint somebody that was not going to be nearly as liberal as she was. Now, ideally, and this is almost like a boring civics lesson, but we understand that the Supreme Court is not supposed to be a partisan position. That you aren't supposed to have liberal and conservative justices. You're supposed to have justices that take off their political hats and look at things from a constitutional standpoint only. Not whether it's good or bad, but whether it's constitutional or unconstitutional. That's it. We also know that doesn't happen. So when RBG passed away, and I think she took a gamble, and I know this is sad. It sounds very cold for me to say this, but she took a gamble. She could have left and retired in her 80s during the Obama administration. She decided she was going to stick around because they were all very sure that Hillary Clinton was going to win the election. She was going to retire then, and then Hillary Clinton would appoint her replacement. Or at least nominate her replacement. And the Senate would then appoint that replacement. Didn't work out that way. So Donald Trump was able to get another Supreme Court justice on the bench with a simple majority in the Senate, not the 60 votes it used to take. So it's a warning for both parties that the things you're doing, I've talked about, and I'm going to talk a little bit later again about the audit that's happening in Arizona. It is another unintended consequence with an audit like this, because there is a better than 50-50 chance that the Republicans are going to take over the Senate in the next election in 2022. Now, whether or not Mark Kelly retains his seat, I can't predict, but the predictions are out there that the Republicans will overtake the Senate in 2022. And they could conceivably take over the House, because it's only a 5 or 6 seat majority for the Democrats in the House. So there could be a dramatic shift politically in the House and the Senate. So if the Democrats want to make these rule changes, they're going to come back and bite them very, very quickly, unless they're going to try to pass pieces of legislation that can't be reversed. But in the end, the filibuster was in place so that they had to negotiate in the Senate. So we didn't have these big swings politically. The huge difference between the Bush administration to the Obama administration in policy and practice. And then the huge swing from the Obama administration to the Trump administration in both policy and practice. And now we're seeing the Biden administration reversing so many of the things that were done outside of legislation. Well, you have these big pendulum swings because it's not done with the 60-vote majority in the Senate, where both parties are invested to a certain degree to make things happen. you couple that with the climate we have right now, Kyrsten Sinema, Senator Sinema, is being shredded by her own party because she dares to work across the aisle. Well, I didn't like seeing what happened to John McCain. I disagreed with Senator McCain on a number of things, and he would argue with me about them like I was a peer. I always respected the debate with Senator McCain. But Senator McCain did things I disagreed with at the end of his time in the United States Senate. There's no doubt about that. But Senator McCain was also someone known as the Maverick that he had to negotiate. And he talked about those negotiations often. The Republican Party in Arizona, the party itself, especially in Maricopa County, despised Senator McCain. They not only censured Senator McCain, now the Republican Party at large censured his wife, who had nothing to do with the party. It was just a statement of "we don't like you." The Democratic Party in Arizona is trying to do the same thing to Kyrsten Sinema. There are now those. It's so funny. Part of what they want to get rid of with HR1 is lobbyists, and they want big money. And now they're running lobbyist-run and private money-run television ads talking about how good HR1 is. It's so funny, the hypocrisy that's involved. But in addition to that, they are calling out Kyrsten Sinema herself. That, to me, is a big deal, that the Democratic Party might just primary a senator that's been pretty popular, and the chance to keep a Democrat in that seat where you may go too far left and lose everybody else in Arizona. But they don't care. It's being an ideologue. And if you work with the other party, if you work on the other side of the aisle, you're criticized. When the VA scandal broke, and I think I've used this analogy on the air before. When the VA scandal broke and we found out what horrible things the VA was doing to its patients here in Phoenix, Arizona, John McCain was the first person to step up when I said I wanted to do something publicly and help put together a press conference and put together an event where we brought veterans in to the Burton Barr Library downtown and had them speak out about what was happening to them. And Senator McCain was furious. When it came time for the choice cards to come out and they wanted to take some of the pressure off the VA and allow veterans to use a choice card under certain circumstances to go outside of the Veterans Administration, that bill was passed in a bipartisan way, and it was sponsored by John McCain and Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders co-sponsored that bill. This is different parties, political polar opposites, running against each other most of the time, working on something that they knew needed to be done. That kind of cooperation isn't allowed anymore. When you are a staunch Republican, if you work with the Democrats, your base hates you for it, and vice versa. And it's why there's such a stalemate in D.C., I'm convinced of it. Coming up in a moment, we talked, put a call out for house nightmares because of what I woke up to at my house yesterday morning. If you missed the story, I'll tell you what happened, and you're going to get to hear more. These are people whose nightmares were much worse than mine. All that's coming up next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, getting great response about Broomhead's Action Alliance. We're going to get out and do some community service work. Now that things are opening up again, we can get back out in the community. And we want to start helping people do that. And we want you to jump on board with some of the things we're doing at Broomhead's Action Alliance. So here's what we're going to do. If you want to jump on board and be available to this, be a part of this, if you just text the word ACTION to 411-923, we're going to send you a free T-shirt. It says Broomhead's Action Alliance on it, KTR logo on the back. And we're going to give you an opportunity to jump in with us. But we also don't want you to just wait for us to do things. When you're out in the community, wear the T-shirt, send us some pictures. We want to give you some love on social media and thank you for your work in the community. So you can either text the word ACTION to 411-923 or just go to the Mike Broomhead page at KTAR.com. There's a link there that will take you directly on how to sign up. Either way, I'd love to have you jump on board. And as soon as we get something going, which is going to be very soon, we'll put the word out to people in the Action Alliance, get you on board. We can all do some good in the community, which I'm so anxious to get back out and do. Let's talk about what happened. Let's talk about me, Steve. Let's talk about me for a change.
We don't do enough of that.
No,
on the show?
We don't. Okay. Are you familiar with that song? I want to talk about me.
I thought you were going to say, "Are you familiar with me?"
Are you familiar with the song, Toby Keith?
Yeah, I've heard
okay.
it.
Okay. Wow, thank goodness.
I'm not a country
guy,
but yeah,
I got one that you've heard. I had a nightmare. I woke up yesterday morning, getting ready to come to work, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I heard what sounded like a gas leak in my house, that hissing sound. So I was terrified. I went running into the kitchen. Well, it wasn't a gas leak. It was a water leak. And so I slipped on the floor, busted it pretty hard, and didn't break anything, but I hit the floor pretty hard, was laughing at myself, got the water shut off, but water got inside my refrigerator and shorted out the motherboard. And it cost me $400 to fix my fridge yesterday. It was a nice day.
How much does the fridge cost?
Probably $1,500.
Okay. I have no idea. I've never bought a fridge.
I didn't want to have to buy a new refrigerator, but they were able to get the motherboard replaced, but it took every towel in the house I had to clean up the water.
Seriously?
It was a nightmare.
I don't have a mop at my place. I feel like that would have been convenient.
I used to tell a story that I went my entire adult life, except for when I was married. I myself, until I bought this house, never owned a vacuum cleaner.
What?
Never owned a vacuum
cleaner. How?
I'm just a pig. I lived in an apartment, and I would borrow occasionally. They had a vacuum cleaner at the rental office, so I would borrow it and vacuum once in a while. I never owned a vacuum cleaner until I owned this house.
Wow.
Once a year? Yep.
Okay.
Once a year, that's asking a lot in there.
Yeah, that was too much. Too frequently.
So we put the word out on the open mic line for people to call in with their house nightmares. And I got to say, I feel much better about myself now after hearing some of these. So here's just a couple of them.
Mandy from Phoenix. My nightmare is actually in my parents' home just shortly after I moved out. They decided to rent it, and their renters went away on vacation. And the fire sprinklers, sprung a leak over a long period of time. And it saturated all of the insulation and everything. Half of their house had to be rebuilt. There was one bedroom that wasn't affected. It was a nightmare.
Oh, my gosh.
Half of the house?
Yeah.
Can you imagine half of your house is just gone?
Yeah, that's got to be in Scottsdale, because I think Scottsdale is the only city that requires fire sprinklers in a residential home. I think okay. They're the only city that requires those. Because I don't have fire sprinklers in my house, but I know Scottsdale required it for a while. Could you imagine? I had a friend who had a flood, and I can't remember which order it happened in, but had the washing machine hose break while they were on vacation. She was on vacation. She came home to about 3 inches of water in her entire house.
Oh, it was probably going for days.
For days. Oh. And then during the restoration, the bottom of her water heater rusted out and leaked again all over the entire house while they were fixing it from the first leak. I don't remember which order the two happened, but they happened one right after the other.
That's like the worst luck ever.
Ever. Ever. So let's go on. This one sounds a little bit scary.
Jason from Mesa. When the market crashed in 2011, I bought my first home, and man, what a competitive market. I finally got a home, and it took months. It was July or August. It's 112. I got the home inspector finally going over, and he opens the door to find the entire house is filled with natural gas. So slight emergency there.
Yeah.
But I got a new water heater out of it.
That is a nightmare.
How does that happen?
A leak probably at the joint where you tied the, if it's a gas water heater, where the gas ties into the water heater, a leak in that joint.
At least he caught it during the inspection process.
Yeah, and he caught it before the place blew up.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know? This one, okay. I got to do this one because it sounds so disgusting.
Good morning. My name is Pat. I live in Mesa. We woke up one morning in the kitchen to find maggots crawling out from underneath the refrigerator where a fly must have laid eggs. It took us about an hour, and we had to pick them all up by hand and put them into a baggie and then throw them all out. It was not a fun thing.
All right.
No.
Too close to lunch, right?
Why did she have to pick them up with her hand?
Too close to lunch, right?
You didn't have like a scoop?
Like a dustbuster or something. I'd have moved out. I think I would have sold the place. That would have been it for me.
I would have vacuumed them. I know you don't own a vacuum.
I do now.
Oh, okay.
I do now. I'm a responsible adult now. It took me until I was 50. But I'm a responsible. I'm a vacuum cleaner owning adult.
I'm a hard pass on maggots.
Yeah. Oh, that's so gross. Coming up just after 11 o'clock, we're going to talk about Arizona passing a budget and why I think it is so important. All that's coming up in a few moments. And did you hear this as well? Stick around.